Golf is on your mind and on the air. Right now, this is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Good morning and welcome on in to the CDGA Golf Show. The segment is sponsored by Fox Bend Golf Course. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, talking golf with you every single Saturday. If you missed anything, check it out on the CDGA Golf Show podcast on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcasts. We've got LIV Golf coming to the Chicagoland area this week over at Rich Harvest Farms up in Sugar Grove, Illinois. And for all of our listeners right now, they are offering a great promotion for you. If you use ESPN20 at checkout over at livegolf.com, you'll get 20% off single day grounds passes. So check that out if you want to make it on up over to Rich Harvest Farms in Sugar Grove for the upcoming LIV Golf tournament taking place this upcoming week. So livegolf.com, promo code ESPN20 for 20% off single day grounds passes. Let's head on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline, Jersey Mike's A Sub Above, where we find Taylor Gooch, the winningest player on the LIV Tour so far in 2023. He's had a phenomenal season out on the LIV Golf Tour, and he's kind enough to join us right now on the CDGA Golf Show. Good morning, Taylor. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you're coming back to Rich Harvest Farms. You're coming back to the Chicagoland area. What's the first thing that jumps to mind when you think of Chicagoland golf?
So I played college golf at Oklahoma State University, and we started our fall season every year at Olympia Fields. And so I have some fond memories of kicking the year off in Chicago. And it was usually, you know, late September. And so I remember thinking, you know, I'm getting my butt out of the hot Oklahoma weather, going to get some nice Chicago weather. So it's a beautiful place for golf, and especially this time of year. So I'm always excited to get back.
Taylor, again, thanks for joining us, and I think I speak on behalf of many Chicago passionate golf fans when I say we cannot wait to see you guys out here at Rich Harvest Farm next week. But you mentioned Oklahoma. You're born and raised, and in fact, you still live in Midwest City, Oklahoma, which, being outside of Oklahoma City, is closer to the University of Oklahoma, not Oklahoma State. Besides having the greatest collegiate golf logo in Swinging Pete, what made you decide to go to Oklahoma State versus Oklahoma?
Oh, man. I mean, plainly put, it's if you want to play golf to the next level, Oklahoma State's the place to be. I mean, you look at the history of the program, the pros that they've been, you know, have turned out from Oklahoma State. It's, you know, I grew up always wanting to play, you know, professional golf. And, you know, when you have a chance to go to Oklahoma State, you don't turn it down hardly. So my family, most of my family had gone to the University of Oklahoma. And so, you know, in spite of, you know, the Saturdays in the fall, you know, they cheered me on at Oklahoma State in the orange and black, the other call it 35 weeks of the year. So, yeah, like I said, Oklahoma State is in the golf world, it's the pinnacle. And so I was fortunate to have a chance to go play golf there.
And to your point, it is the pinnacle, but what is going on in Stillwater that makes it such a hotbed for producing some of the best stars that we've seen on the PGA Tour, not only recently, but in decades, but most recently, such as you and Victor? What's going on in Stillwater that makes that program so very special?
Man, that's a question that often gets asked, but, you know, it's just culture. You know, the coaches, you know, Laban Harris and Mike Holder and the guys that really started the program, you know, they set a precedent of, you know, we're going to be great. And even though we don't have the, you know, the Phoenix weather or the, you know, the Southern California weather, like, we're going to be great. We're going to turn out tough golfers, and you know, we're going to go win. And so it's really just like any other, you know, sports program. You know, what makes Alabama football great? You know, what makes, you know, the Red Sox great? What makes, you know, whoever it is, it's culture. And so, you know, from, you know, a long, long time ago, you know, they were able to establish a great culture that turned into a rich history and, you know, became the cool place to be.
Taylor Gooch on the LIV Tour joining us here on the CDGA Golf Show. LIV Golf will be coming to the Chicagoland area, Rich Harvest Farms, from September 22nd to the 24th. So 3 months ago, Taylor, the golf world was shook up when there was the announcement that there was going to be a merger between LIV Golf, the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour. What do you remember from that day, and was there any sort of inkling that you had that this might happen?
No, it was definitely unexpected. And what I remember from the day was I was with my wife and another couple of our friends down in Cabo. And so I remember thinking these margaritas today are going to taste extra good. Because that was a great day, not only, you know, for LIV, but I believe for all of golf. And you know, we still don't know what's to come of it, but yeah, I was in Cabo and was soon to have a margarita in my hand, and it was a fun day.
So you joined LIV back in May of 2022. How soon after that first PGA Tour win at the RSM Classic in late November of 2021 did you know that this LIV thing is not only a go, but that you were going to be a big part of it?
Yeah, you know, there have been discussions for a while, you know, a bunch of rumors, a bunch of talk of this new, you know, golf tour, this new golf league. And, you know, no one really knew what was to come of it at that point in time. And, you know, call it 6 months later is about when it began. And so, man, it's wild to think everything that's happened within the professional golf world and how much the landscape has changed. And, you know, it's been an exciting time, you know, at LIV the last two seasons. And, you know, growing up for me, growing up playing different sports and, you know, golf being the only individual sport that I played, you know, I love the team aspects and, you know, I love having teammates, the camaraderie and so for me, that was a huge, you know, kind of intrigue when I was, you know, trying to decide if I wanted to go play with LIV or not. And so, man, it's been an exciting time, and it's been an exciting year for us, you know, with the team that I'm on, the Range Goats. And, you know, it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be an exciting week next week in Chicago.
Yeah, no doubt. And, Taylor, you're 31 now, and given – you know, what transpired on June 6th and the changes that are going to be coming, where would you like to see things stand between PGA, LIV, DP World Tour, as well as yourself personally, and say 5 years from now? What does the world look like according to Taylor Gooch?
That's a great question. You know, first and foremost, just selfishly, you know, I would love for, you know, the whole world ranking system and the majors and the pathways to getting into the majors, you know, on this side of things at LIV, I would love for, you know, that to be figured out. We have way too many good players, you know, playing on LIV, and I got to go beat way too many, you know, good players each week to not, you know, get the benefit of that from a world ranking perspective and getting into majors. And so, you know, for me, selfishly, you know, I hope all of that gets figured out. I don't think anyone within the professional game disagrees with that. Everyone, you know, wants that to be figured out. And then as far as just the whole environment in general, I really don't know. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how it all unfolds. And, you know, I do know that, you know, on both sides, I know that we've got some, you know, good people in place that are going to, you know, help push things forward in a positive way. And, you know, it's like I've told everyone from, June 6th on, you know, that day, it was great for everyone. And, you know, golf in general, fans and players and everyone is going to benefit from what's to come. And, man, it's just an exciting time for golf in general. I think there's a lot of excitement and a lot of energy. And, you know, there's more people that are tuning in to golf than, you know, probably ever before. So it's great for everyone.
Taylor Gooch joining us here. He'll be participating at the Live Golf event at Rich Harvest Farms coming up on September 22nd. So, Taylor, you brought up the majors there, and Live guys have had some pretty solid success this year at the majors. Brooks obviously wins the PGA. You saw at the Masters, Brooks was right in the thick of things, as was Phil, as was Patrick Reed. For yourself, though, when you go to these majors and you see guys wearing the Live Golf team gear and stuff like that, do you guys sort of feel like the black sheep at times at these events?
You know, I don't know if I would characterize it like that, but I mean, there's no doubt that because of all of the drama and all the media stir that's happened over the last year and a half, you know, there's that's a Live player and that's a PGA Tour player, right? And so, you know, at the end of the day, you know, in spite of all of the media craze, you know, it's not like we're sitting there looking at, you know, PGA Tour players or Live players and we're, you know, there's animosity within, because, like I said, everyone over the last year and a half within our world, you know, has benefited from what's happened. And so, you know, again, like I said, we all just want this to get figured out and, you know, for there to be, you know, again, the best players in the world being recognized as that, and the majors having the best players in the world, you know, competing. And that is the, you know, that is the place where, you know, we want to figure out who the best of the best is. And to do so, you know, you gotta have some fairness on both sides. And so, you know, the majors are the toughest weeks of the year and the toughest tournaments to win. And, you know, it's going to be fun to see kind of how, like I said, how it all turns out.
You know, you mentioned there, you just hope everything gets figured out, and the ink's not dry on this agreement yet. Are you still confident that we are going to have a merger?
You know, again, like most people, I really don't know. You know, it's, again, that's not my job. You know, my job is to go make a bunch of birdies. I've kind of coined the term Rule 67. My job is to go shoot 67. And everything else usually takes care of itself. So I'm going to continue to try to shoot as many of those as I can. And we'll let the people that, you know, are a little bit smarter than us golfers figure out, you know, what the agreement and merger looks like.
So, Taylor, it seems between your collegiate career, now on Live, you have a knack of following where the coolest logos are. You came on as a member of the Four Aces, which you enjoyed a most successful 2022 season. Why the change, and what was that conversation like with Dustin Johnson when you had to tell him that you were going to go over to the Range Goats?
Yeah, it was tough. You know, like you said, we had such a good season last year, you know, with the Aces, and, you know, we won a bunch and had a ton of success together. And so, you know, P. Reed and Pat Perez and DJ, you know, I'm still tight with them. And, but I had an opportunity to go and play with Bubba and, you know, one of my best buddies for a long time, Harold Barnard, to, you know, have a chance to go and team up with the dude that, you know, has been one of your good friends for a long time. It's something, you know, in all sports, you don't get a chance to do often, and never have had the chance in golf. And so, you know, when that, you know, opportunity came about, I was like, man, I got to do this. And so, you know, the Aces have clipped us this year, and you know, hopefully these last few events, the Range goes, we can go play well, because it'd be nice to end the year on top of the Aces, that's for sure.
You had two prior wins prior to joining Live Golf professionally, and now in the span of a year, you already have three. What's sort of clicked for you in 2023 that's allowed you to have all this success?
Yeah, I think one of the things I've done well in my career is, you know, kind of year after year, just continuing to improve. you know, I didn't have a hot start to my professional career like, you know, the Victor Hovland and, you know, the Jordan Spieths and the Colin Morikawas and these kind of guys. It's taken me a little bit longer to, you know, really catch my stride. And, you know, the last few years, if you kind of look at the trajectory of my career, it's you know, it's continued to improve and, you know, my game has continued to progress. And, you know, like any sport, when you get some momentum on your side, you just try to ride that wave. And so, you know, this year the game has been sharp. It's been good. I've you know, gotten a lot of confidence after the last couple of years of, you know, some solid golf. And so, you know, it's nice to, you know, nice to get it done. And, you know, like I said, three times this year and really three different types of wins, which has been cool. You know, one of the wins, I, you know, had a big lead going into the final round and I was able to hang on to a win. You know, another win, I was in a playoff with Sergio and was able to win in a playoff. And then, you know, the last win, I was able to make a putt on the last hole to beat Bryson by a shot. And so it's been cool to, you know, have three different wins in three different, you know, in three different ways.
So Taylor, would you attribute any of your rise in, you know, accomplishments and the whatnot due in part to being able to be in more of a team environment collectively across your entire league, but let alone having some influence from Dustin Johnson as well as Bubba? Like, what have you taken away from those two gentlemen that may have helped Taylor Gooch become a better professional?
Yeah, you know, anytime in any sport, when, you know, when you're around some of the greats of the game, you know, you can't help but just improve. Just being around them, seeing how they go about their business, learning from them, you know, and also, you know, competing with them, it's gonna rise your game. It's gonna make you a better player. And so, you know, being around those guys, you know, like I said, more often on a day to day basis, you know, I've been able to adapt and grow and, you know, just grow the confidence too. You know, that when we're having, you know, games, you know, playing money games and having competitions before tournament time and you're able to, you know, beat them, it's like, okay, I'm doing this here. I can do this anytime. So it's just, you know, your confidence grows and like I said, any sport, if you're around some of the greats, if you're not improving yourself, you got to look at yourself in the mirror. So I've been fortunate, like you said, to be around, you know, some of the best players in the world for a while now, but especially over the last couple of years on a really day-to-day basis, which has been awesome and a blessing for sure.
Taylor, before we let you go here, you know, I know you come from a baseball family. Your father played in the minor leagues with the Texas Rangers. When you think of Chicago and like the baseball city as it is, how big was baseball for you growing up? And how tough was it for you as a child of a baseball player to be a golfer full time?
Yeah, so I think I was like 13 or 14 years old, I came back from a baseball tournament in the summer and I had a golf tournament the next day and I had the shanks. And it was at that point in time, I was like, all right, these sports are starting to interfere with each other. And I didn't like losing. And, being 13 or 14, I was, you know, pretty good at golf at the time and pretty good at baseball time. But, you know, I knew that in a golf tournament, if I played pretty good, I was probably going to win. But, you know, in a baseball tournament or in a game, you know, I needed eight other guys to, you know, step up and play well for us to win as well. And so I remember thinking at the time, like, I'm tired of losing in baseball if my team doesn't do well. And if I'm in, you know, playing well in golf tournament, I'm, you know, I got a good chance of winning. So that was why I said, you know what, I'm going to stop this baseball thing and I'm going to focus on this golf thing. And my dad's got three brothers, and there was let's just call it a little bit of a family intervention to make sure that I wasn't making a brash decision. And and so far it's turned out pretty good. And you know, for I've still followed baseball. I mean I'm a huge baseball guy, and you know, I don't have a specific team. I more so follow players. And one of my best buddies is the catcher for the Phillies, JT Realmuto, and And so, you know, of course, I'm going to cheer for the Phillies. And but I will say my favorite park in baseball is Wrigley, without a doubt. And so anytime I'm in Chicago, I try to catch a game. And so this next Tuesday, I'm going to try to get out to I think they're playing the Pirates, maybe. I can't remember for sure, but I'm going to try to get out to Wrigley. It's, like I said, the best park in baseball.
Well, you would have loved it. They had an event there the other day, or like a couple months ago, where they turned it into like a Topgolf arena. But who's the best baseball player you've ever played with?
Oh, man. Oh, that's a great question. I mean, my buddy JT is pretty good. I played with Smoltz once, and he was good. I mean, he was, you know, really good as well. Yeah, I would say maybe Smoltz might be the best. Yeah, pitchers are pretty good at baseball. So usually pitchers are pretty good at golf. So that's usually the best bet. If you're going to bet on a baseball player that's going to be good at golf, you just find a pitcher, and you're probably going to have a good chance of winning that bet.
Yeah, when you play every 5 days, like I'd hope you'd have a good golf game to you there. Taylor, appreciate the time. Best of luck out at Rich Harvest Farms, and we're looking forward to watching you.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for the time.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. We got another special treat on the line right now. We'll go out to the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above, where 2018 Masters champion Patrick Reed joins us on the CDGA Golf Show. Good morning, Patrick. Thanks so much for taking some time with us today.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Fantastic. Good, so, Patrick, you're coming back to the Chicagoland area. Your team, the Four Aces, won out at Rich Harvest Farms last time around at the Live Golf event up in Sugar Grove. But when you think of Chicago area golf, what's kind of the first thing that comes to mind?
Oh, the amazing sports and really the food and just kind of the architecture and everything. One of our cousins actually lives up in Chicago, and I swear every time I go up, I feel like when I come home, I have to work out harder because, man, the food and the just atmosphere and all the sports is top-notch.
Patrick, great to have you, and we cannot wait for Liv to arrive at Rich Harvest Farm next week, and more specifically to see the Four Aces. Just really kind of wanted to get your feel for the way Liv evolved, starting, you know, going back to London last year, and how Chicago fared in its first season, and what was the reception like coming to Chicago versus some of the other places, not only in the United States, but, you know, overseas as well. How did Chicago stack up?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I felt like Chicago was one of the best events we played last year. I mean, not just because of the golf course and the layout and how amazing condition it was in, but the energy around the entire golf course and the amount of people that came out, the fans, and, you know, just the support they had. They really were getting into it, and, you know, it was really the first time I felt like they really were jumping behind teams, not just individuals, you know, because, I mean, I felt like last year it was kind of a build-up to, all right, let's try to figure out how it's going to be, if people are just going to follow individual players or if they're actually going to start getting behind teams. And I felt like at Chicago they really got behind teams, and, you know, for our team, when we went and won the event, it seemed like the Four Aces, there was tons of cheers going on, but just the atmosphere of them getting behind each team, it wasn't as much go this person, go that person. It was about go Four Aces, go Range Goats, go team-wise, and which I think is huge, because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to build a team atmosphere in golf, and, you know, why not better places than go to Chicago, where, you know, they really get behind their teams rather than just individuals.
Patrick, what is so appealing about team golf for you?
No, for me, it's you're playing for something bigger than just yourself. You know, golf's such an individualized sport that, you know, you obviously have your small team behind you as with your family, with your coaches, with your trainers. But to be out there and playing for three other guys that are out there and, you know, to have every putt, every shot matter to try to help boost them, whether your momentum's feeding into those guys, whether you need to make that putt to, you know, to win a match or there are things like that. It just gives that extra motivation, extra drive, and a different type of pressure that, hey, you know, I need to show up not just for myself. I need to show up for my other guys and for my team. I don't want to be the one that lets them down.
Yeah, Patrick, I was going to ask that. Being in a team atmosphere, you can't really mail it in ever because I think
ever.
Because you've got all these other guys, you know, relying on you. So as I look at the standings, it looks like the four aces are cruising to another team, you know, overall victory, but, you know, there's still work to be done. But you specifically are one of the top three players on the whole LIV Tour. What's happening to Patrick Reed this year that wasn't last year?
Well, I mean, last year I played one less event. I didn't play London. I started in Portland, and I was pretty high in the standings. But really, this year, I feel like the difference is I'm just playing consistent. You know, I'm not doing anything. You know, I haven't won one yet, but I've been consistently finishing in the top five, top ten every week. And you know, I think that's what happens when you come out here with the point system they have. Of course, if you win, you're going to take huge jumps, but it also benefits you to go out and play consistently good golf. And I think that's what's been key, is to go out there and play solid. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're having an off day or a great day, you have to go out and keep pedal down because it's a, you know, it's now a sprint. It's 54 holes, not 70, 72. So you can't have that 18 holes of just, you know, stagnant, you know, mediocre golf. You have to be ready to go because these guys are too good. You can't go out there and just kind of ease into your rounds. You have to put the pedal down right off the bat and get going.
Patrick Reed with us on the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. So, Patrick, I want to flash back to 2018 when you won the Masters. What's going through your mind after 36 holes? You've got the lead. You had a good finish at the PGA Championship the year before, but you'd never won a major yet. What was it that you needed to channel to ultimately break through and win your first major?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing with me, especially at Augusta, I mean, I went to college there, and you know, it being the first major, there's a lot of pressure that I kept putting on myself that you have to go out and play well. And, you know, it wasn't working, obviously. And then when I got there in 2018, I actually showed up Monday late afternoon. I showed up later. I basically went out and just kind of, you know, went about it as if it was just a regular event and just kept on reminding myself, hey, it's just golf. You know, it's just another 7-iron, it's just another driver. I tried to put the actual shot and live in the actual moment that, hey, every shot is still just a driver that I'm hitting. Like, number one, a 3-wood, for example. It's just a normal draw 3-wood. Well, I've hit a trillion of those a year and through my life, and I've had no issues. But once you start thinking, oh, it's Augusta, it's the first major, it's when you have the lead and all that, now all of a sudden your mind wanders. And my coach and I, we had the game plan going in, just treating every shot every day like it was Groundhog Day, like it was just a normal day. And I was able to keep myself in that mindset. My brother-in-law, who's my caddy, he was able to keep me in there. And just because of that, honestly, didn't really feel much pressure, really didn't allow the moment to get too big. Just tried to allow my talent and my game to go out and do what it's been doing the first 2 days. And that was, you know, playing solid golf to take the lead.
So, Patrick, you're 8-time winner on the PGA Tour, Masters champion, of course. I'm going to guess that Masters champion moment, if you will, is the number one moment in golf. But which is more important to you, playing on the Ryder Cup teams or one of your other 8 wins?
Ooh. The thing is, I've been asked that 1,000 times. It's so hard to answer that question because they're completely different. And playing on the Ryder Cup team, you're playing for a team. You're playing for 11 other guys. You're playing for a country. You know, and all my other wins were individual wins, or, you know, you're playing for yourself and your family, but you're not playing for other players. And so, you know, those are so hard to compare and really go, you know, go back and forth. But I mean, I will say there's nothing like representing your country. I mean, never forget my first Ryder Cup in 14 when Captain Watson had Wounded Warrior in there, and they're telling us the story of what it meant to, you know, represent your country and be a part of the United States. And, you know, they gave everyone a folded flag, and it has stayed in my golf bag since I received that at 14 Ryder Cup, and still in my bag today. Anytime I play golf, you know, that flag's in my golf bag to represent
Patrick Reed with
the United States, but who we are.
Patrick Reed with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. So, Patrick, speaking of the Ryder Cup, we saw a number of the LIV guys left off the team, whether it was yourself, DJ, Bryson, guys who had been a part of multiple teams. What did you make of Captain Zach Johnson's picks to only take Brooks from the LIV Tour?
I could see that. I could see it right whenever it was going down. I mean, with the tensions that were built right in the very beginning between LIV and PGA, and it was one of those that unless you earned your spot through points, or like Brooks did, where he was just 20-something points off of being automatically picked, you already knew that we weren't going to be picked. And especially when, and let's be honest, I mean, look how Brooks played in those majors. I mean, I made putt in all of them and, you know, played pretty solid in most majors, but I mean, with only having those events being the ones that count for us, and the guys on the PGA Tour, they have every event they play that count. It was a long shot, but you know, it was disappointing to see, you know, and really feel like the top guys and the top players for America aren't out there representing our country and going to play in Europe, especially when, let's be honest, the success that we've had over in Europe has not been very good, just like the success they've had over in the U.S. hasn't been that great.
Yeah, and I would say, Patrick, without question, we're going to miss you as well as a few of the others this go-around, and hopefully not so much that we can't win, but to your point, we're not necessarily putting the best team, best 12 guys together just because of the situation at hand. But given that, you've been very, you know, not so much outspoken, but you know, when we watch you play golf, you're wearing the LIV logos. You're wearing the actual LIV logo along with the team logo. So,
right.
From that perspective, what is your proudest moment now that you've made this switch and that you have gone and made this commitment to making LIV become a full-fledged reality and a formidable tour in itself?
Yeah, I think the proudest moment is seeing how fast it's building. Yeah, I mean, it takes enterprises and companies longer than 2 years to build as fast as LIV has built. And to see how much the players are behind it, but then also the behind the scenes, the, you know, organization and the, you know, the day-to-day people and the corporate people that we deal with from LIV on how they actually listen to players and, hey, you know, what do you think about this? They're actually getting our input and asking questions about what we think. And they're open to what we have to say as players, just like we ask them questions, and you know, they're very responsive and try to help us out as much as possible. And you know, it's refreshing and nice to see, because you know, I felt like that was one change and something that needed to change a little bit on the PGA Tour. And you know, I hear that they're trying to do that and work on some things, but it's just one of those things that, yeah, I mean, it's a player's tour. I mean, golf has always been, you know, it's about the players. You're not going to have a product, just like you wouldn't have a NFL or major MLB or anything like that without having the players. It all starts with the players. You need stars. You need players to be there to play, to bring in people. And, you know, I feel like LIV really gets that. And they, you know, not only are listening to us, but also, you know, with the format changing and all that, it's just, it's something new, refreshing, and something that, you know, I'm very proud to be a part of.
Patrick Reed with us here on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. 2018 Masters champ. He'll be playing out at Rich Harvest Farms in the LIV Golf Tour this upcoming week out in Sugar Grove. So, Patrick, there's been about 3 months ago, there was the bombshell on the golf world that the LIV Tour and the PGA Tour was going to merge. But the ink's not dry there quite yet. Are you still confident we're going to have a merger?
Honestly, I have no idea. It's one of those things that it's hard to really know anything since they're so tight-lipped. I mean, none of the players, the guys that I know on the PGA Tour, they're good friends of mine. They really don't know anything about it. We, as guys on LIV, don't really know anything about it. Same thing some of the guys on the European Tour. And so when we have no clue what's going on, and they're, you know, it's all behind-the-scenes stuff. It's hard to know if the merger is going to happen or not, and really whether we want it to happen or not, because, I mean, we don't know any information. I mean, that's the one thing that's a little unsettling as a player, because you sit there, you're going, okay, so what does that all mean? When does it all, you know, take place, et cetera? But, you know, really, and that's above my pay grade. I'm going to let those guys deal with that. Let the lawyers, let the CEOs, let all them deal that stuff. I'm going to go out and do what I'm supposed to do, and that's... play good golf and entertain some fans and, you know, try to drive these four aces to another victory.
Patrick, you're 33 years old and some say about to just start hitting your prime as a professional golfer. What would you like to see happen in the next few years in this golf ecosystem, if you will? And if LIV sticks around for years to come, and they allow you guys to go, whether you want to go to the DP, play the PGA Tour, and you guys can go to different tours, would you stay at LIV, or would you consider going back to the PGA Tour if there was a roadway back?
You know, I mean, it all depends. You know, for me, honestly, I've always been a firm believer that I don't like hand-me-outs, so I wouldn't expect sponsor exemptions, things like that. You know, I just want to go earn my spot to play. And as a player, if you've earned your right to play somewhere, you've earned, whether it's enough FedEx Cup points, or you've earned a high enough ranking to be on LIV, or you've earned enough DP World Tour points to be on the DP World Tour, then you should have that right to be able to play. That's, you know, really the only big stance I have on all that. But really, you know, for years to come, I just feel like we all need to, you know, learn how to play together and, you know, get that unity back into golf. You know, I mean, LIV Golf is another tour just like all these others. I mean, you have how many, you have PGA Tour, DP Tour, you have Asian Tour, you have the Australian Tour. I mean, the amount of golf tours around the world, there's so many that, you know, I really don't see any issue. And they've all learned how to play together. You know, if you've earned your right and earned your spot into an event or earned your right to play on another tour, you have that option. And, you know, that first year out, last year of LIV, I already met my minimum on the PGA Tour for events played. I played all the LIV events, and I would have, you know, I would have played my entire minimum I was supposed to on the DP World Tour. So, I mean, there's no reason why you can't play multiple tours. I've done it. I've done it my whole life with PGA Tour, European Tour, and that first year out, I did all three. So, you know, it just all depends on how much each guy wants to have to play. But I feel like if they've earned their spot, they should have the right to choose and play what tour they want. Now, if they want, have harsher penalties for guys that, if they are a member of the PGA Tour, if they don't meet the minimum there, or if they don't meet the minimum at the other tours, that's then when it's like, all right, because you're not going to come and just cherry pick, say, one or two events. No, if you're going to play on this tour, support the tour. Play at least the minimum. If you do that, more power to you. Play whatever tour and however many tours you want.
Patrick, appreciate the time and best of luck out at Rich Harvest Farms this week.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Patrick Reed, 2018 Masters champion, and he'll be playing out at Rich Harvest Farms this coming week. When we come back, we will go around the CDGA. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Thank you to Justin Pottinger for producing today's show. This segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. As we take a whip around the CDGA, Mike, what's going on around the CDGA?
Well, we've had a busy week. I want to say a big congrats to Joel Patton, who shot 72 in the Super Senior Championship up at Glenview Park and won the title of the best senior super senior player in our district. And Walter Sweda, he's our net champion. So those are the two big winners at the event on Thursday. On Monday, we were able to battle the elements, and 100 of us played Flossmoor Country Club. We managed to get that event in, so that was nice because the original date was an absolute rainout. On Wednesday, we played the CDGA Kemper Sports two-person championship out at Harborside, and a big congrats to the various flight winners. All flight winners, both net and gross, walked away with a stay-and-play trip to Sand Valley Resort, as well as tickets to watch our newest Blackhawk, Connor Bedard, play this season. The 2024 CDGA Kemper Sports two-person schedule will be announced December 1st. As far as the events coming up this week, we have a qualifier tomorrow, the final four-person qualifier. Winners tomorrow or on Monday will go to the finals on Friday at Bowes Creek, where we will have 36 foursomes competing for stay-and-play trips to French Lick Resort. So good luck to everybody this week. CDGA members, if you're looking for any deals out there, Bartlett Hills has just come on. For September and October, they're offering Monday through Thursday all day. $49 includes your green fee and a cart. So go on out there, tell Phil Lenz that we said hello, and have a great time playing Bartlett Hills. A nice little track out that way. For those who are going to be battling some rain and inclement weather here in the next couple days, X Golf, all CDGA members, if you go to X Golf, we get 10% off. So you can practice in cooler elements or after the sun goes down. And for those that are hungry today, go on out to any Chicagoland Jersey Mike's if you're a CDGA member and enjoy $2 off. For those who are playing golf up at Glenview Park, you can book a twosome for $99.95. It includes green fees, cart, and a complimentary zero-friction glove and two-ball pack for each player. The offer is valid noon to 3, 7 days a week. So get on out and play some golf. And lastly, this is, you know, the daylight is getting shorter, but get on out there. This is the best time. I played Stonebridge yesterday with my brother, and it was some of the best golf, finest weather that we've had. But we made sure we replaced our divots and fixed our ball marks. So you do the same, and everybody have a fantastic week. And get out to the PGA Superstore here in Lincoln Park if you have the chance. Giving away $30,000 worth of prizes, ample parking. It's a great experience and a vibe going on here. So 1745 West Fullerton, come on out.
Speaking of our great presenting sponsor, Glenview Park Golf Club, how about Glenview Park defending their Wadsworth Cup as well? Out at Cantini, shout out to Ron Cassidy, Todd Vermillion, Mike Stone, Gibson Martin. Shout out to all those guys. Congrats on taking it home once again.
Yeah, they played on Monday out at Cantini, and they were the epitome of mutters. And I've always told them they're good mutters, so they proved it. They're actually defending their championship, so congratulations, boys. Well done for the Glenview Park golf team.
All right, that's going to do it for us here on the CDGA Golf Show. We will be back next Saturday. Chicago's College Tailgate with myself and Shay Norling is coming up next.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.